people seek the truth. Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Thank you for listening today to this message. And we've been teaching about mercy and teaching here in the last couple of teachings about illuminating Yeshua and acting like Him, or desiring to do so, to act more like Him. And we've done several parts here talking about mercy. And today, in concluding this topic, I want to us to reflect on the things we've learned and to just do a self-test to see where we stand in terms of the mercy that we understand it. We understand what Yeshua wants us to share with others, and who people should see when they look at us. You know, I often say, when you go and look at a person, and if you don't know they're a believer, if you've had a conversation with them and you leave that conversation not knowing if they're a believer or not, they didn't do a good enough job representing Yeshua. They didn't do a good enough job representing their walk. The same thing for you. If somebody's talked to you for several minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and they come away from that conversation not knowing if you're a believer or not, you did not do a good enough job. I'm not judging you here to make you feel bad. I'm just saying we need to live a life where people see Yeshua in us. Right away, they know we're set apart. From what? From the world. From non-believers. From people that do not desire to live a righteous life according to the scriptures. Now, that's one thing. Okay, this person's set apart. This person's different than most people I speak to. Then, how is he different? Or how are you different? Well, he spoke about Yeshua several times in a conversation. He spoke about the Bible. He spoke about the Word. He spoke about Yahweh. That person is definitely a believer. That's what we want people walking away with. And then we go to the next level. So now somebody knows you're set apart, you're different. Somebody knows you're a believer in Yahshua, or a wonderful Messiah. Now, do they see Yeshua in us? Do they see the mercy? The mercy. And this is the area that I've fallen short of in the past. I've given lectures. I've spoken to people. And just because I know scripture, just because in some areas I've overcome things, and I, like diet, for example. My diet is far better than most people. But in the way I often introduce that, I don't make people feel like they want to change their diet. I often make them feel defensive, and I come out looking like I'm prideful about the way I eat. I don't want to do that. I want to be more humble in my approach. And so we all have these areas. So, you know, people know, they definitely know I'm set apart when they talk to me. They definitely know I'm a believer because I talk about Yeshua. But when they see me, when I leave a conversation, do they feel condemned? And often, I know it's an area I work at because they do. I know when I give a lecture, people literally say, I feel condemned. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you the facts. But the way I'm presenting it is not the way Yeshua would present it, because it's not making a person feel loved and making a person want to rise and repent. It's making them feel condemned. I want to make them feel encouraged. And that's what we should do. So the first thing is, we should make a person understand you're set apart without having to say a word. I mean, or just the way you look and act. I mean, without having to like literally tell them, they should know you're different. Then the other thing is, you know, do they know you're a believer? They believe you believe in Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. And then the last one is, do they see Yeshua in you? So when people leave a conversation with you, do they feel condemned or are they encouraged? Do they feel beaten down or pointed towards Yahweh? So think about that. Now, then get closer. When your children think about you, do they remember consistent criticism or patient instruction. Now, this area I'm okay in, I think. I'm not saying it's proudful, but I really, really, really go the extra mile to be very patient with my children and so on. And I need to extend that to other people. What about your spouse? You know, what do they think about you? Do they think you're full of, when they see you, do they see grace or do they see impossible expectations? Now, this is an area we can all do better. I'm okay, I could do better. But this is a good area because unlike my children and unlike strangers, my spouse is the closest person to me, so we could have constructive criticism and talk about these things. When I have a conversation with people, somebody in my congregation, or what do they think about you, or even a stranger, you know, are you pointing people towards Yahweh, or are they leaving condemned and getting defensive? And the answer to these questions reveal much about our spiritual condition. If we spend all our time looking for faults, eventually faults are all we'll see. You know, so yes, we could judge righteously to lift people up, but that shouldn't be the focus. We shouldn't walk in somewhere, oh, I'm going to see who's messing up and I'm going to correct them. No. Let the Father lead you and seek to be like Yeshua. Remember, if we continually focus on the failures of others, you know, our hearts slowly become critical. Let's look at what the scriptures say about this. Paul reminds us of this in Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is condemnable, if there is any virtue and if there is anything worthy of praise, keep thinking about these things. Notice Paul isn't telling us to ignore sin. He's teaching us what we should occupy our minds with. A heart filled with gratitude has little room for consistent criticism. I am so thankful for what our Creator did, and I keep thinking about that example of the man that was owed great debt, and he was freed from that debt. He didn't have to pay it. But then he went and he charged others. He said, you owe me, after he was relieved of his debt. I don't want to be like that. I got this great gift in Yahshua. We all do. We need to let people know in a loving way that we were told. You know, our words do reveal our heart, and Yeshua taught this. He taught, it's not just how we feel and think, but we need to think about our speech, because our speech exposes what's truly happening inside of us. Let's look at this scripture, Luke 6:43-45. It says, for no good tree produces bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree produce good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. For from the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. If criticism consistently flows from our mouths, the real issue is not our tongue, it's our heart. The tongue simply reveals what has already taken root inside. Many relationships have been damaged because someone spoke too quickly. As somebody who's been a believer a long time, this is one of the things I consistently try to tell myself. Not to speak too quickly. Slow down and think about things. James in gives us an amazing wisdom in this area. In James 1, verse 19 and 20 says, know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not produce righteousness, the righteousness of Yahweh. Imagine how many arguments would disappear if every believer obeyed just these two verses. Quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to become angry. What would happen in our homes, our congregations, even online? The answer is simple. There would be much, much more peace. Remember in our previous lecture here, we discovered or we spoke about how love covers sin. Love covers sin. And Peter reminds believers that love doesn't look for opportunities to expose people. It looks for opportunities to restore them. As I say, I'm not one that says don't judge. We should judge. Judgment is important. It's discernment. However, if we're judging someone else, we should judge them to seek to lift them up and not tear them down. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says, above all, keep your love for one another consistent, for love covers a multitude of sins. We're not to ignore sin. Notice Peter doesn't say ignore sin. He says love covers it. How? By seeking restoration instead of humiliation. By protecting a repentant brother's dignity instead of broadcasting his failures. Love never delights in another person's downfall, and neither should we. And Yeshua didn't either. Remember, lifting people up. When Yeshua left a place, people were transformed for the better. We need to be slow to speak and be careful because words cannot be taken back. Once spoken, they continue to affect people long after the conversation ends. And I've seen relationships destroyed over words. Nothing but words. Relationships were destroyed. You know, James warns us of this. In James 3, verses 5 to 10, it says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how small a fire sets a large forest ablaze? And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is set among our body as a world of unrighteousness, contaminating the whole body and setting the course of life on fire. And is set on fire by Guiana, every species of beast or birds, reptiles, and sea creatures is being tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human can tame their tongue. It is a relentless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless Yahweh and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image of Yahweh. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be. How strange is it to worship Yahweh on the Sabbath and then destroy someone made in his image on Monday? Yahweh desires consistency. Our mouths should become instruments of life. How do we react when we see somebody not living up to the standards of our wonderful Creator? And how has our reaction changed from now to the way it used to be? So what should we do when we see a brother or sister living in sin? What would Yeshua do? Should we ignore it? Absolutely not. We need to call it out. If somebody's in danger, and if you're living in sin, you're in danger. We need to call it out. You want people to tell you if you're doing something wrong. At least you should. Maybe you don't want to hear it, but you need to hear it. So you cannot ignore and not say anything. That's one of the worst things you could do. If you see somebody not living according to the scriptures, one of the worst things you could do is to not say anything. But another terrible thing you could do is to say something with the wrong attitude. To say something with pride, to say something that's condemning, to say something that's going to make people feel bad about it. That's just as bad, if not even worse, than not saying anything at all. should we see that person live in sin and create gossip around it and tell people? Absolutely not. Every answer we need to know is found in the scriptures, and Yeshua is the living word. And we need to mimic him and how he lived and what he wants us to do. Remember, it's all about patterns and order. And Yeshua gives us the biblical pattern in Matthew 18, verse 15. Now, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault while you are with him alone. If he listens, you have won your brother. Notice the goal. Not proving yourself right. Not embarrassing somebody or winning the argument. Your goal is you have won your brother. Yahweh values restoration far more than public exposure. We think about this with everyone. This is the way we should respond to them. Even our enemies. Yeshua said, love your enemies. And this is what he was talking about. Love them so much because you want them, maybe more than anyone, to come to know Yahweh. They need it more than anyone. At least in your eyes, they do. This may be one of the hardest commands Yeshua ever gave. In Matthew 15, 43 to 48, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do the same, don't they? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Even the Gentiles do the same, don't they? Therefore, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The greatest test, folks, of spiritual maturity is not how we treat people who agree with us. It's how we treat and act to those who have hurt us. It's easy to love a friend. Only someone walking in the Spirit can generally pray for an enemy. This is the character of our Creator. This shows us and reveals to us what we need to do and how we need to live. When Moses asked to see Yahweh's glory, what did Yahweh reveal? Not his power, not his strength, not his authority. He revealed his character. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7 says, then Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Adonai, Adonai, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in love, kindness, and truth, showing mercy to thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. Notice the balance. Yahweh is compassionate, gracious, and forgiven. But at the same time, he never calls sin righteousness. He is full of mercy and full of truth. That is exactly what we see in Yahshua. Like we discussed in the last message, mercy and truth go together. And those that are promoting this message of grace versus law is the antithesis to what the scriptures say, because the scriptures say, no, grace with law, mercy and truth, not separating it, but together. The goal of everything we do should become more like Messiah. That's what we should be doing. Ephesians 4:31-32, Paul gives us a challenge here. Get rid of bitterness and fury and anger and shouting and slander, along with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God and Messiah also forgives you. Notice what must go. Bitterness, anger, slander, and malice. And notice what must replace them. Kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Maturity of believers and spiritual maturity is not merely removing a sinful behavior. It is replacing it with the character of our Creator. Just think about that. Think about that. Imagine if every believer began each day with this prayer. Father, before you, show me another person's faults. Reveal my own. Before I correct someone else, correct me. Before I speak, let my words honor you. Help me love your commandments without becoming self-righteous. Help me stand for truth without losing compassion. Give me the courage to confess sin, but the humility to remember that apart from your grace, I fall just as easily. Let my life point people to Yeshua rather than to myself. May I become known not as an accuser, but as a servant who restores the broken. Now, if every believer prayed that sincerely, imagine what would change. Imagine what would be different. Marriages, families, congregations. Our witness to the world changes the world. Slow to speak. Focus on Yeshua and what he would do in these situations. I believe Peter sums this up, the heart of the entire teaching here, in 1 Peter 3, 8 to 9. Finally, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, tender-hearted, and humble-minded. Do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. Instead, give blessing, for you were called for this, so that you might inherit a blessing. Notice what Peter does not say. He does not tell us to compromise truth. He tells us how to live while holding on to truth. With humility, tenderness, compassion, and blessing instead of cursing. That is the heart of Messiah. We've spoken about mercy here now in several videos. This is something we continuously need to be thinking about, praying about, and asking about. As we finish this little series here on mercy, I want to give you all a reminder. First, the enemy accuses, but the set-apart Holy Spirit convicts in order to restore. Remember who the source is of what you're saying and what you're doing, and that reveals the answer. The next thing, before removing the speck from someone else's eye, allow Yahweh to remove the log from your eye. We covered this. The next one. Mercy never excuses sin, but it always seeks to restore the sinner. Never excuses sin. There's no, excuse to live a sinful life. Just because Yeshua gives us mercy isn't an excuse to keep living in sin. The mercy should restore and bring the sinner to repentance. You showing mercy and the character of Yeshua should be leading and bringing people to having a repentant heart. And then the world will know we belong to Yeshua, that we are set apart, we're different. Not only are we a believer, but we have the character of Yeshua, not only because we know the truth, but because we reflect his character, that they will see and know. They will see and know this truth. So I pray that we can radiate, glow for people to see not just a bad difference, but a good difference. People could desire to want to be set apart. And it could become such a thing in our life where we don't have to work at it. It's just part of our life. We're just kind and generous, but we have such a tender heart for people that are living in sin. It hurts us almost more than it hurts them. We just want them to experience the blessings of righteous living. We literally are so brokenhearted that people are just living so far away from the Creator and His Word. I'm not just talking about strangers on the street. I'm talking about even so-called fellow believers. That a heart would just like a father or a mother would care for their child that was doing something they shouldn't do. And the parent had to watch them go through that and go through the suffering as the consequences and the result. When we see people, whether they're a stranger or close to us, going through life without Yahweh, it should just break our heart. Make us want to get up and help that person. But to do it in a way with wisdom, with a Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we could connect with that person in a way where they don't feel condemned, but they feel loved. And it will bring them to repentance and restoration. Hallelujah. What a great, great, great thing. And the capability and the possibility that we can do that, that we have that, is so real. So real. Father Yahweh, may you help us. May you help me, Father Yahweh, to be more like the character of Yahshua. Father, humble us and teach us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yah be with you this day and always, and thank you for listening. If you've liked this message and it's blessed you, bless us financially so we can get this message on other radio stations and share this message around the world. Thank you so much. TorahLifeMinistries.org. Have a great day and shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.